Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
Now, boys, what did we say about threatening each other at breakfast?
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Mackey and Judd on until 1 o'clock. A lot of Vikings. Andrew Wiggins hit a huge buzzer beater last night. I was in the crowd going crazy for WWE tables, ladders, and chairs, so I had to watch that.
I didn't know you were going to that.
Last-minute decision. Girlfriend scored some awesome tickets because she's awesome, and she wanted to bring me back to my childhood, and that's what happened.
I'm glad you got to go.
So, all right. You were inside the stadium yesterday.
Yes.
And it sounds like it was just kind of tough to make out exactly. Like, Matt Burke was at the stadium yesterday.
Yes.
And Matt Burke, he played for the Ravens, played for the Vikings, welcome him back.
And they do this before games. They just bring back Vikings players from yesteryear and say hi.
I think he's a hypocrite. I'll start there.
All right.
I think Matt Burke is a hypocrite.
Okay.
I don't know him that well. And I don't even, this has nothing to do with politics at all. Just like the mechanics of what he said yesterday bothered me.
Okay,
and Matthew Collar wrote about this on 1500ESPN.com, kind of the same stance. So he gets a mic in his face at US Bank Stadium, and, you know, what would you do if you were the NFL commissioner? And I believe he said, well, I would get rid of offensive holding. It's kind of funny, you know, offensive lineman doesn't want offensive holding. I would make every game be played on natural grass, you know, whatever, you know, hold up, preserve the knees.
Right.
And he said, and I would make sure everyone stands for the national anthem.
Okay.
And the crowd goes crazy, like 40,000 people. I don't think it was all 70,000, but a good chunk of people, let's say half, cheer for this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to direct you to the Baltimore Ravens 2013, coming off a Super Bowl. Right? That's the timing, right? Matt Burke goes to the Ravens, 2010, plays a couple years with the Ravens, 2012 season. And
yeah, because he left here after the 08 season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, because he didn't play on the Favre team.
Correct.
So Matt Burke tells a stadium full of 70,000 people, if he were commissioner, he would mandate everybody, all players, stand for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
In 2013...
Mm-hmm.
Matt Burke used his platform as a football player to push something he believed in, and it doesn't even matter what it was. I'm going to leave that off the table right now. He had an agenda or a belief or something he felt strongly about,
mm-hmm.
and in 2013, he used his platform and visibility as a football player, along with the White House visit as Super Bowl champions, as his vehicle for a protest. I'm not going to go to the White House because I don't feel comfortable with XYZ. In mm-hmm. this case, for him, it was the abortion debate. Barack Obama was pro-choice. Matt Burke, Catholic.
Correct.
Has vehemently voiced his stance on that. So what's the difference if in 2017, football players use their platforms and visibility
right.
to push things that they believe in, using the national anthem as a vehicle for protest? I'm struggling to, other than the content of the protest and the entry point for the protest, it's apples to apples. It's hypocritical to suggest that players should, that you'd mandate they stand for the national anthem, and yet, well, should we then mandate that teams go to the White House? Like, I'm having trouble with this one.
All right, and I think, and while Burke said it and it lands at his feet, I think what you're having trouble with is this. Here's the conspiracy. I'm convinced of this. Matt Burke either works or worked, I don't know what the association is right now, but he works for the league or has worked for the league. He knows Goodell. The NFL right now, I've never seen them so freaked out. They are, this whole anthem thing, I mean, they were concerned last year because ratings were falling slightly for them, and they didn't know exactly why, and they're saying, okay, it might be the presidential debates and that, and we don't know for sure why. Well, they know now why they're falling again, and in their mind, it's because of this. They are scared. Trump's got them scared. Burke was the voice for what I'm convinced was a plant. And the plant was this. Burke's worked for the league. Burke is league friendly. Greg Coleman, God bless him, nice guy. But Greg Coleman, of all people, asked.
Oh, is he the question?
He asked that question.
Well, he asked the commissioner question.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that question is a plant. That question.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Greg Coleman didn't just think to him, because ordinarily what they do is say, welcome Matt Burke back. You know, Matt, tell me about your days with the Vikings. Well, they were great, and you played for both these teams, but who are you really a fan of? I'm a fan of the Vikings, and the crowd goes crazy, right? The commissioner question for that setting is way too specific.
Right. Oh, for the record, I just want to make this clear. I am 100% fine with Matt Burke using his platform and visibility in this White House case to refuse to go to the White House, to stand up for his religious beliefs and or his agenda. I have no problem with that. Now, would I maybe debate him on some of the things that he thinks and his viewpoints? Sure. Like, I think everyone should.
Well, I was going to say that's, yeah.
And maybe, or maybe I wouldn't. Like, but that's where the conversation should be.
Right.
So 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500, by the way.
But what I'm saying is the NFL wants to make it very clear to everyone they possibly can that they love the country and they want everyone standing for that anthem. And they will, and right now they will do whatever it takes to make that clear. And I am convinced that the league and the team told Greg, ask Matt this question. Because Matt threw out three things, and two of them are no big deal and are going to get cheers. But, yeah, grass, we love it.
This is where it's hypocritical. Like, if the reason why you want players to stand for the national anthem is because you want them to respect the country, the flag, the military, even though they've all, like, all of the players who have spoken about this have said it hasn't... We respect the military. There's nothing to do with that.
Yep.
Couldn't I flip that around on Matt Burke and say, well, you know that there's probably tens of millions of people that view your snubbing of the White House invite as a major disrespect to the country, to the office, to an endless list of things. To which he would correctly say, oh, but it's, I have, and I think he's on the record saying this, I have the highest respect for the office and the White House. Mm-hmm. And I believe him.
Right.
Because it's not about the entry point for the protest.
But,
and that's where we keep getting stuck, and that's where Matt Burke got stuck yesterday with a microphone in his face at U.S. Bank Stadium. One of the smartest players to ever enter the NFL is caught up in the entry point to a protest, hypocritically.
But the important thing to keep in mind is this league is as hypocritical as they need to be to keep fans on their side. And they initially, when Trump came out on that Friday and basically threatened and said, if you don't, you should fire their bleeps and fire them, the league pushed back. And then what happened? They realized the ratings were falling and the country wasn't siding with them. And now all of a sudden, Jerry Jones has gone from kneeling with the players to saying, my players will all stand or they won't play. All right? That's a long way to come. That's a long way to come in 2 weeks. So the NFL as a whole is as hypocritical as they need to be to continue to get as much money from you as they can. To me, it's that simple.
And then, of course, like the other angle here is, everyone's fine with protesting unless you, A, disagree with the content of the protest or if it inconveniences you. Like, I had someone on Twitter yesterday say, I'm okay with protesting in general, but then, like, listed all these, but not in this case, that case, that case. Well, then you're not okay with protesting in general. Howard, you're on with Mackie and Judd.
Hi. I'm going to disagree with you on one thing over here. I don't think the players really know what they're protesting about, meaning you have some protesting against the cops, some against the military. I just don't think it's a place where it should be done. You want to protest outside the stadium, fine. But you can't be protesting on Soldier Field where it's dedicated to the soldiers, and you can't be asking for police protection and being protesting against the cops. I think it's hypocritical.
Why is it hypocritical, though, why is it hypocritical to want police protection and to say that there are still injustices? And I'm with you. I think the message oftentimes gets lost, and it clearly has over the past 15 months. And so, you know, that's not 100% on those receiving the message. It's at least partially, Howard, on those delivering the message. So I'm with you on that front.
Would we agree that when Kaepernick had the socks on anti-cops? And
for sure.
That was a dumb move. So,
and then in Miami when it was pro-Castro, you want to protest? Fine. You want to protest outside the stadium? Fine. But in a league where you get fined for not having matching socks, and they want everyone to be standing at attention because it is the government. Call what you want. Call it over your honoring. Just don't protest then. You want to protest, you score a touchdown, you know, protest then. Don't spike the ball. I just think you're not asking a lot for people to stand at attention. And make it, go back to Coach Bud Grant. They practiced it for 3 days. The first 3 days he was there. I know it's a different era, but know what you're protesting against, and I don't think these players do.
Here's the thing that I keep coming back to, though, And here's where, if this was across all sports and it was a mess and you'd said, man, they can't solve this issue, they can't. The NBA, which has players who definitely have opinions, and you have more outspoken players and coaches than any league, look at how beautifully they have gone about things. Now, you might not agree with what Pop says about Trump, and that's fine. That's your right. But it's in their CBA that you stand for the anthem. But they didn't then just say, well, and if you don't stand...
So players agreed to that. They collectively bargained that.
But
they sort of gave away the right to protest at the beginning of a game.
NBA players are also provided a platform basically to say, if you want to speak... Tibbs told his players, speak out. If you believe something, speak out. But so when you see the way that the NBA has handled this, and then you turn around and see the way that the National Football League has handled this, the difference and the fact that there are solutions which football is not finding, that's what drives me crazy. And what also drives me crazy is the default position of the National Football League is, oh my God, ratings and revenue are down. That's all we care about.
Let's take one more on this because we're going to get to Courtney Cronin and talk about football-y things. 651-646-8255. Bert.
Yeah, two things. One is, this is not just in the NFL. I was at a high school game recently and stood in back of people. Okay, I'm a veteran, so I'll put that out there, but I stand, and I'm happy to stand every time. These three young black high school students said, well, and I questioned them about it. They said, well, it's not our flag. We don't see it as our flag. The second part is Matt Burke, his title is NFL Football Development, and he is also director of the game day experience. So absolutely that was a plant.
You might be right. And Bert, my question to you would be, are you curious to know why those three black high school kids say that they don't feel like it's their flag?
Absolutely.
Because that's what I want to know. Okay, that's where I want to have the conversation. Why? Is there anything I can do? Maybe not. I don't know. But that's where I want to have the conversation.
Well, I think the schools, they've gotten caught up with mixing... and I'm an educator as well. The schools have gotten caught up with a liberal view, which is fine. Tell everything, but tell it accurately. They've clouded the truth by going for telling any story, but not necessarily the whole truth. And that's an issue. I see it in the middle schools and high schools today.
Bert, thank you for your call and for your service, man.
Great
call.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, like, you can't. Well, sometimes if you're mad because you don't agree with the content of the protest, then you're like, it's a free country.
But I like Berkey, but I think what he did yesterday was akin to coming out for a concert and saying the band always loves coming to Minneapolis. They knew they'd get cheers. He knew, and they are, and right now, when you throw out three things, and one of them is, I think we should play on grass. Well, that's an old tried and true football tradition, right? I play on grass. And the second thing is, offensive holding should not be penalized. Well, he played center, obviously. And then the third thing is this drop in of, and we should all stand for the anthem. It's one of those deals where they are pandering to a crowd that they so badly want to get back if they're losing.
If millions of people feel like something is very wrong with the system, instead of maybe finding out why they feel that way, if your response is shut up and learn to deal with the system, I don't like that. I feel that feels dirty to me. And that's kind of what that felt like yesterday. So, all right. Luther Brookdale Toyota, 694 in Brooklyn Boulevard is where you can find the best service department and car dealership in the Twin Cities, and where you can find sort of a brand new stadium of sorts. We're talking about a 5-year-old, fresh, brand new, 30 workstation service area. We're talking about the Luther Lounge with 6 workstations, 6 cable TVs, 2 massive flat screen TVs, and free coffee, cookies, snacks, tea. You got a play area for the kids. It is luxury combined with durability when you're talking about Toyotas. And we're talking about some of the smartest people in the industry in the Twin Cities as well. So stop in and see the deals you can get between now and the end of the month on brand new 2017s. And be sure to check out the brand new 2018 Camry, 694 and Brooklyn Boulevard, and LutherBrookdaleToyota.com. Mackie and Judd back to talk Vikings 5-2. Courtney Cronin from ESPN.com next.
Now the team's live for the kickoff. Referee blows his whistle.
Mackie and Judd now continue.
And the game is on.
On 1500 ESPN.
My mama calls, see you on TV.
So now on first down at the Baltimore 29. Murray.
Murray running room. Left side. 10. 5. Touchdown.
Vikings up to 5-2 on the season. Courtney Cronin covers the Vikings beat for ESPN.com. You can find her on Twitter at Courtney R. Cronin, C-R-O-N-I-N. And, you know, it's our natural habitat here following the Vikings in this town, Courtney. Getting too haughty generally means you're going to get an anvil dropped on your head like the Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner bits. But the Browns are already terrible and just lost Joe Thomas for the season. Is there any plausible scenario other than viral meningitis breaking out in the Vikings locker room that they don't go to 6-2?
I mean, if Case Keenum throws 4 interceptions, and I guess they're all returned for touchdowns, maybe. But, I mean, it's like you want to have some pause with this because this team was 5-0 last year, and things did get messed up, and it's like, how did that happen in so many scenarios where they could have won games that you just don't want to go too far ahead. But you're right. I mean, this should be the Browns have not won a game. They had a chance against the Titans, and it was just, I mean, I was trying to keep an eye on that after, because that game went to overtime after the Vikings game ended, and just, wow. Like, I mean, this is, I don't see any other way that they walk away from London without a win, especially, you know, even with the inconsistency at quarterback, their defense is showing why several players along that in that unit got big paydays this summer, or the past summer, you know, for that reason alone.
How far, in your mind, can Keenum take this team?
I've definitely been a Keenum thumper, I guess, you know, hitting that button the last week or so, just because he has not been, like, at least leading up to the Green Bay game and through the Green Bay game, he wasn't a problem for this team. Yesterday was the first time I think we saw, you know, really since week 2, we saw Keenum look like a backup. I think he can take them through the Browns game. That should not, as you said, should not be an issue unless some crazy thing happens where he throws a bunch of interceptions. But I do also think that, you know, this is, as I said, this is not a long-term solution. I think that maybe, you know, come week 10, if Teddy's ready to go, they're going to be looking at that potentially as an option. But, you know, Keenum has done a good job managing and playing the contained game right now. It's just, you know, that's not sustainable over the course of a 16, 17, you know, throughout, you know, week 17.
Yeah, that's the, I'm trying to project ahead with Case Keenum here. I'd like, if we're talking about big-time matchups, if you get to the playoffs and you're playing on the road in Philadelphia or a resurgent, you know, Seahawks team, I'd like a little more accuracy out of a playoff quarterback. I'd like a little bit more assurance that you kind of know what you're getting from week to week. I mean, he hasn't shipwrecked the team yet, and he hasn't wrapped the car around a tree, which is checkbox number one. Mm-hmm. But they're all like, he just kind of throws the ball up, and it's fun to watch once in a while. But I think even he would say that he doesn't know where the ball is going all the time. But they have such a good defense, and their offensive line is better that you can put him in this insulation, and it works. Maybe it wouldn't work with worse insulation. Like, if he went to the Packers or the Browns right now, it'd be a train wreck for Case Keenum.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the Packers' offensive line. I mean, he would not be where he's at with staying pretty clean throughout games. And, you know, I like what Pat Shermer's drawn up for Case throughout the first, you know, since week 2, since he filled in for Bradford. They're pretty much on a, you know, almost permanent basis since that point. I like the play that they ran the first play of the game when the offense got out there. That really was not his fault, because obviously Laquon Treadwell tipped that ball twice for the interception. And I like that they're taking shots. I like that wasn't a check. And that's, you know, they're going to be aggressive with Keenum and play to, you know, the strength of his mobility. But some of the inaccuracy stuff, I mean, that's been there throughout his entire career. It's not stuff that's just going to change because he's got a good offensive line, he's got good skill guys. I mean, one thing that, you know, it's amazing how well the offensive line has continued to play, especially yesterday with all those injuries to Searles and Reese, and just how seamless that unit was. after the injuries happened. And I think what the reform was most telling, because Case said, I didn't even really know if it happened. That it wasn't, there was no stoppage for the injury timeout, but they were able to, get Rashad Hill in there and go through the motions. So they've been lucky in that aspect. I mean, that's been the cornerstone of this entire offense so far. And they do get credit, but I think they deserve more credit. But yeah, I mean, he also needs to have his top skill guys playing at full strength. This is the second week that Stephon Diggs hasn't played. We really don't know what they have right now in Michael Floyd because of the hamstring injury, and he just wasn't targeted all that much in the Chicago game, his first game back. But that's not necessarily something that's going to continue to get better as the weeks go on. As the season wears on, injuries tend to happen. You can't really predict that, so they're going to have to wait around with what they have right now. I just think that this has never been their long term fix. But he's done a good job, all things considered, maintaining, even if they can't get the passing game going, he's still finding other ways to do it, through the run game like he did yesterday.
On Treadwell, I'm done. I'm done. Courtney, I can't take it. The play, the tipped ball, not once but twice by him, that was picked off. That was the exact play that we were sold on in this town when they took him. 50-50 balls. He's not very fast,
he can't get separation. That's the thing. Like I've told people, I covered this guy for 3 years at Ole Miss. This is not something that's new. He can't get separated. That's something where he struggles. And he had a really good opportunity yesterday. I wouldn't say he squandered the opportunity because he was in I think 83 or 87% of the snaps. With Diggs and Floyd out, and didn't play any special teams. But, if he's out there for that much, it's got to be more than just pass blocking. I think he had, three or four receptions for, 38, something like that. There's so much potential. It's like this guy's ceiling is very high, so the production should be there too. And it's kind of it is disappointing, I think, that he wasn't able to, be another blanket with Rudolph and Thielen yesterday.
Courtney Cronin, ESPN.com, Vikings beat writer. Wrap your head around this. Kai Forbath, since joining the Vikings 14 games ago, going back to last year, 32 of 33 field goals, including perfect beyond 40 yards. And one of the worst extra point kickers in the NFL on the other side of that. How do you wrap your head around that?
Dude, kicking is so strange. And funny, Matthew Collar and I were talking about this yesterday. It's like, what are you asking? So are you trying to, kick it through the uprights? Nobody really understands. It's such a, it's obviously the specialist. There's such, minutia in those positions that the general population doesn't understand the way they deal with, offense and defense, that it just doesn't make any sense. And someone actually brought up a really good point to me, when I kind of expressed that, and they said, hey, there's four misses, this year, three of them have been on extra points, that, it's like golfing. Why can guys hit, really far drives onto the fairway and they can't make a putt? I think that's actually probably the smartest way I've heard it described, and I'd love to hear a little bit more, about the intricacies. Maybe we'll get with Prefer this week to find out a little bit more about why this thing keeps happening. But the good thing is, Forbath isn't really concerned all that much. He's definitely comfortable here in Minnesota. And, that's a kick that he's probably going to lose some sleep over. But I don't, since the Detroit game, he hadn't had any issues with it until yesterday from four extra points. So, and I think you take the good with the bad, and yesterday he was really good.
Courtney, if there was one player that, in your opinion, this defense can't afford to lose, who would that player be?
Linville Joseph. I mean, you can't say enough. And that's not discrediting anything that Everson Griffin has done. I mean, there's so many players that it's hard to pick. But, I think Linville is the key to how good this run defense is. I talked to guys about it last week, and Everson Griffin gave a great analogy, called him a cruise ship, and also threw in some words there that I cannot say on the air due to FCC restraints. It's just, he's so hard. You can't double him, and in his block awareness and just the way that he's able to anchor that part of the defensive line. Guys can't get around him. He's a matchup nightmare, and he opens up so many holes for your downhill runners and your linebackers coming through, and even getting guys from the from when runners escape and get to the second level, I mean, he's able to bring the defense in. So I think he is, you know, for the last two games, I mean, yes, Griffin has 7 sacks, but I think Linville Joseph is the MVP of the last two games. I know some people are going to disagree with me and say it's Anthony Barr. Well, I'm not going to get into the whole, like, him being an MVP is knocking another player out of a game. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, I will go with Linville Joseph.
Yeah. All right, Vikings and Browns this weekend. No Joe Thomas. 17 picks already thrown by Browns quarterbacks with Joe Thomas helping them. So, should be 6-2.
The Vikings have quarterback issues. I mean, take a look at the Browns.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's saying something. So, they've had quarterback issues since they came back in 1999. It's possible that this 8-game stretch that they've played, or whatever, 7-game stretch, is the worst of it. Like, this is unbelievable. They're averaging 2.5 picks per game, and they haven't won a game yet. So, yikes.
Thanks, Courtney. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Courtney Cronin from ESPN. .com.
Why would you be a Browns fan? Why wouldn't you just be like, you know what, I can't do it?
At least they've
got, not even the real Cleveland Browns.
Well, at least they've gotten to the acceptance phase of their quarterback problems. I know another fan base that hasn't reached the acceptance phase yet.
Go, Pat, go! I mean, it appeared that Hundley had pretty good protection, and I'm just wondering if, you know, is Jordy going to be as effective receiver? Do we look at bringing in, mixing things up with the receivers? I have to give McCarthy a D.
Go, Pat, go! Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
It kind of stood out amongst the other things that were good today.
Mackey and Judd.
Huge impact.
On 1500 ESPN. Now on Mackey and John.
Do you believe in past lives? Did we ever really land on the moon?
Questions.
What are the 6 degrees that separate you and Kevin Bacon?
Of significant importance.
Football.
Dave Harrigan has some questions for us. We're going to try to provide some answers.
Let's go positive, Vikings. I've got one that's a little bit negative, too, due to some negativity I heard out in the hallway about a half an hour ago.
Was it Patrick?
It was not Patrick. It was someone from a different station that feels very negatively about this Vikings team still at 5-2. It's unbelievable.
Compared to what? Like, compared to... I mean, they're one of the better teams in the NFL, right?
Well, I think the theory is, oh, same old Vikings. This is what they did last year. Great start. It's all going to come crumbling down.
I think a lot of people feel that way. I'm getting that feeling.
All right.
Let's start positive. Then we'll get to the negative. Boys, we're going to play a new game here. It's called All-Pro, Pro Bowl, or No.
Okay.
I have a list of Vikings in front of me. You are going to tell me just right off the top of your head what you expect at the end of this year. Will they be All-Pro?
What's the difference between All-Pro and Pro Bowl?
Pro Bowl has a ton of guys. All-Pro is actually
a very select. All-Pro is better, right?
Yes, very, very select group makes
All-Pro. Is it like first-team All-Pro, second-team All-Pro kind of a thing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll call Pro Bowl, so that's your next level down.
Yep.
And no, meaning they get no off-season recognition. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here's through the list. Just give me right off the top of your head. Let's start with Anthony Barr.
All-Pro.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, both.
Just Pro Bowl for me.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah. I have to pick just one, right?
Yes.
So all Pro.
If you pick All Pro, it's assumed they'll obviously be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Everson Griffin.
Pro Bowl.
All Pro.
Danielle Hunter.
He's gonna get a bunch of sacks. I'll say he's Pro Bowl caliber. He'll be a replacement. He'll be a replacement for somebody.
No.
Kyle Rudolph.
No.
No.
Adam Thielen.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Pro Bowl.
Linval Joseph.
All Pro.
Yes.
Eric Kendricks.
No, but he'll be among the NFL's leading tacklers.
Yeah, I would, I'd say no.
Xavier Rhodes.
Pro Bowl.
All Pro. He's top three corner, I bet.
Harrison Smith.
All Pro.
All Pro.
Hall of Fame.
Last one, Anderson Dejo.
Your favorite.
No.
Dave's favorite.
He's the assassin.
Andy the assassin. A Harrigan favorite, number one in your heart and your heart only.
Heck of a shot yesterday.
Did you see the flag on that? Somebody put it on Twitter. It's hilarious.
Mm-mm.
So Mike Wallace gets the shot in the head, right?
Yes.
From Sindejo.
That was scary.
Rhodes is holding him up.
Okay. And it's savage. And his helmet flies off. And then his head whips back and hits the field.
Yeah.
Well, somebody put this on Twitter because you couldn't see it from the press box. So Wallace is lying there and the officials get together to like discuss it. And as they're going away from the players to discuss it, the official just takes the flag from his pocket. So this is minute after the play. This is not like bang, bang. He takes the flag from his pocket and just sort of drops it there and walks away.
What's the point?
Like, oh no, we're going to call a penalty.
But
did he
lay the flag over Mike Wallace's
body?
That's
what it was like. That's what it was exactly like. But it wasn't, but there was never a, oh my God, I just saw that hit. Here comes the flag. You never saw the flag because it took him a minute or more as they were going to go congregate and talk. He just takes the flag out of his pocket and drops it there.
In case you're wondering if the NFL is getting a little too violent, at one point during that sequence, Mike Wallace's helmet had flown 15 yards away from his body, which crashed against the turf and back of head on turf. And then he spent the next 20 minutes just like confused, roaming around looking for his helmet, searching in all the bins.
And arguing with the medical staff, is that right?
But he was trying to, so his head hits the back of the turf, and he's clearly dazed and has to be concussed. And he tries to sit up, but he's like, he couldn't like sit up. He was trying to sit up like the Undertaker, you know, and his arms were kind of out straight. And the three or four people that came over there, including an official and a couple Vikings players, were like, oh, dude, no, stay down. Stay down. You're scrambled right now.
So basically, the Vikings are going to take over the Pro Bowl is what we're saying.
Well, I got seven All-Pro or Pro Bowlers. Yeah. You know what? Stephon Diggs, if he comes back and gets healthy at some point, could still be in the Pro Bowl mix.
Absolutely, he could. Now let's go negative. All right, a certain producer for the FM talk station, Donnie Love, approached me in the hallway and said, oh, those Vikings, man, it's all going to come crashing down. I said, what are you talking about? They're going to be 6-2 going into the bye. They're unbelievable. And he starts talking about, yeah, but look at the quarterback and look at, you know, they've got all the road games after the bye.
Tell Donnie to stick to pop culture, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Boys, talk him off the ledge. He says Vikings 9-7. And as Judd said just a moment ago, a lot of people are still on that bandwagon. Talk him off the ledge. Why will it be better than 9-7? Why will it not be what it was last year after the bye?
Well, one, your offense, which was absolutely brutal a year ago, is now good enough to hang on to the football, which means your defense is rested and your defense is very, very good. But I would say this, forget the Vikings for a second. Look around the rest of the conference and the league. Who scares you that much? I mean, the Packers are cooked. The Packers and Bears are both going to be awful now.
Bears keep winning.
Yeah, whatever.
What do you mean?
Whatever. My point
that
is...
That was a classic Bears win yesterday, where they don't do anything offensively and find like eight other ways to score and move the ball.
Look at the rest of the schedule. I mean, the Falcons, I thought were good. Well, they're not really that good. That is now a game that you could go on the road and win. You look at the rest of this conference right now, and I don't see anything that really scares you. So I would talk Donnie and everyone off the ledge by saying, if you look at the state of this league right now, I mean, the Vikings are winning games with Case Keenum, and that defense is great.
We haven't played the schedule game in a while, but this actually boils down pretty easy mathematically if you're on the 9-7 wagon. That's really easy to get you there. They have 5 wins right now. Cleveland's coming up in London. That's 6.
Yep.
So we just need 3 more after the bye to get to 9-7 if you're on the 9-7 wagon, right? The last 3 games of the year, home against Cincinnati, they're a disaster. On the road at Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers, tougher because it's a road game, but you're going to win that game.
They're going to open up the offense in Green Bay.
Yeah.
McCarthy.
Maybe Jordy Nelson will sit on the bench and let a real receiver... and then home against the Bears in week 17. So even if you think they're going to lose 5 consecutive games out of the bye week, they get Cincinnati, Green Bay, and Chicago to end the season to get to 9. I mean,
and what's the road before that, though? Atlanta,
Washington. Washington, Rams, Lions on the road, Atlanta on the road. Carolina's not great.
Yeah. You can beat them.
On the
you
road,
beat them last
though,
year.
Third game of a road swing. So... it's a 10-win team, even if they're... It's a 10-win team right now, with upside.
Stop foreboding joy, okay? Enjoy it. The Vikings are actually... Who cares how they're doing it? They're taking advantage.
Put yourself in the mind of Tom Thibodeau. I'll give you a moment to get there.
Okay, no.
Thank you. You are coming down to the end of the game. You've got 10 seconds left on the clock. You've called timeout. You're down by two, and you've brought your team over to drop one final play.
Now,
humans compete. We like rankings.
Phil and Judd rank them on 1500 ESPN.
Rank your guys in order of who gets the last shot.
Well, so, okay, I'm going to ask a technicality question here. Ball in hand to make a decision or absolutely taking the last shot?
You are drawing up a play and you're saying this guy is option number one.
Okay. Because they're like, I'm going to pick Jimmy Butler number one. We'll rank from four here.
Go.
Number four.
Number four, Jamal Crawford. We already saw it on Friday night. The guy hit a dagger three from the corner.
And he's number four. Ouch.
He's number four, yep. So many is a great thing for the Wolves.
You're going to keep Wiggins off the list, aren't you?
No.
Number
three, Karl-Anthony Towns. He hasn't taken a lot of them yet. He's the most efficient overall scorer on the team and was the leading point scorer on the team last year.
Number two,
Andrew Wiggins, because...
Number one.
If I also get the option of making a really good decision if the shot's not there, Jimmy Butler is the most trustworthy guy here. I think Butler and Wiggins are both, they're both like probably going to hit the shot the same amount of, you know, percentage of the time. But Jimmy Butler also gives you that, ooh, the shot's not quite there, fairly decent passer attribute. So Jimmy Butler, number one, Andrew Wiggins, number two, Karl-Anthony Towns. And when Jamal Crawford's number four on your list, you're going to the playoffs.
There's too many choices here.
Go.
Number four.
Agreed. Crawford four because...
One, two.
Number three.
Towns is three, same as you, but here's where it gets different.
Number two.
Butler is two because the greatest attribute of the guy I'm about to give you.
Number one.
Andrew Wiggins is one because his ability... I give him credit for this. His ability not to be affected by things. I mean, that shot last night is a no conscious shot. And if I'm drawing up a play at the end of a game, that's what I want. So yeah, I would actually put him number one.
That was a
he doesn't have a. I mean, he's got the ability for all of his pitfalls at times. Situations like that don't seem to faze him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd put him number one.
Judd, you want to know why? That was question three, right?
Or yes,
did you
won
the
Phil.
First two. Okay.
Yeah, it was question three. It was a good question today, Dave, by the way.
Three solid
there were.
Questions.
Yep, good job. Very good. You want to know why I knew that shot was going why I knew that shot was going in really early in the process last night, Judd?
How'd you know that?
Because I watched the replay on a TCL 55-inch 4K Roku TV.
That sounds nice.
Where you could see every rotation of the ball almost in slow motion as it floated through the air off the backboard and through the net as time expired, and our Minnesota Timberwolves moved to 2-1 on the season. If you're not watching sports on a TCL TV, you are missing out on a great experience, a theater experience, with four times the picture quality of your standard 1080p television. TVs are evolving, and TCL is on the forefront of that evolution, especially with their built-in Roku device, which gives you access to 4,000-plus streaming channels and 400,000-plus TV show episodes and movies. So find out why the entire world is talking about TCL TVs and why TCL is the official broadcast partner in the studio here of 1500 ESPN. You can find TCL TVs at any major local retailer or at TCLUSA.com.
Phil Mackey.
He's not a drama queen. He's a dummy.
Judd Zolgad.
He's already ruined the Vikings. He's going to ruin the Wild. He needs to stay away from Target Center. Stay away from the Wolves.
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Now up for grabs on the 1500 ESPN stream player, The First Major by John Feinstein. The number one New York Times best-selling author, John Feinstein, delivers a dramatic chronicle of the bitterly fought 2016 Ryder Cup, pitting a U.S. team out for revenge against the Europeans, determined to win the cup and keep it out of American hands. This sounds harsh.
Football.
Head to the 1500 ESPN stream player for your chance to win your very own copy.
That's a top three read by you, Dave Harrigan.
That sounds very, very vengeful and serious.
Doesn't it, though?
A top three read.
Determined. Keep the cup out of American
football.
Heads.
This didn't work, huh? Too bad. Too bad. Didn't work.
Thank you, ugly American.
We won. We came. We got drunk, and we won. Peace out.
And the dude sunk the putt in the practice round.
Yeah. You're right. Highlight of the Ryder Cup, maybe.
You know, we haven't done enough Packer vent line today. I think we should fire some more up.
Go, Pack, go!
Ron, how you doing?
A little bit perturbed. I saw on both sides of the ball softness today. On defense, it looked like they didn't want to tackle anybody. And they had a lot of third down opportunities to stop them, and there was just no aggression. I know you're playing Drew Brees, but maybe just once in a while blitz them. And I don't remember, did the Packers make a hard hit tackling somebody the whole game? Do you remember one?
Go, Pat, go!
Those poor guys. I mean, they're above 500 still. I don't know why they're so frantic.
Did they
frantic.
Watch the team last week against the Vikings when the defense also stunk?
They just have to get like three more wins, and then Rodgers can come back and they can run the table.
No empathy, no sympathy.
Then he comes to the podium and says, and gets mad and says that, you know, this is my guy for 3 years. I'm going to be with him. Then what does he do today? And I'm with Gary on this. He handcuffs the kid. You got a running back that almost, 129 plus yards. You got guys, receivers, Bennett, Nelson, Cobb, Allison, Adams, Montgomery, who you can split like a Colt Beasley, somebody like that. 14 points? Are you kidding me?
Go, Pat, go!
I love Colt Beasley. He's one of my favorite receivers in the NFL. Colt Beasley.
McCarthy came to the podium and, you know, told him, that's my guy. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that was completely the truth. You know, I've been chomping at the bit to start Brett bleeping Hundley for the last 3 years. I love how I can't believe he might have lied about that one.
Go, Pat, go!
I'm actually down here in St. Petersburg, Florida, visiting my mother. And
oh, there
she booked
you go.
My flight. She booked my flight to return during the Packers game. And so I purposely missed my flight just so I could watch this terrible showing. I am just disgusted. We lost to an inferior team. I'm actually from Louisiana, and all my Saints fans, people are hitting me up, talking this garbage all. Drew Brees looked like trash in the first half, and they made adjustments, the Saints did, in the second half and made us look ridiculous. And I'm sick of it.
Go, Pat, go!
It's the rest of your season.
Yep.
Is going to be exactly like that.
Yep.
It's not going to change. You'll probably win a couple more games because the league is not very good, but that's the rest of your season.
Yep. Here's a question just on the Wolves last 2-3 minutes of the show here. We just ranked the guys that we trust the most with the ball in their hands, you know, last shot, decision making, whatever it may be. Based off watching these first three games, do you have a higher opinion of what this season could be for the Wolves? Like, I didn't think they were going to win in Oklahoma City. And it's possible they roll off 3 straight losses and it's clunky and they're still growing pains. But
I would say my answer is I have confirmation that it can be what I thought should be the case. Because if this is a year ago, they are 0-3. And those last two games played out the exact way that they did a year ago and you lost them both.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say what this does is it provides confirmation of the fact that the addition of Butler and the maturity and growth of some of the young players now takes them from being a team that could get to the precipice of winning that type of game to actually winning it.
It's almost like the veterans coming in here, Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler, Jamal Crawford, have given permission to the younger guys, hey, you have permission to go win that game. Well, you have permission to be good now. You can go win 50 games. It's fine. You have permission now.
The tone that Butler is setting right now on a consistent basis, I told you, when I went in the locker room after Friday's game, no fewer than 4 or 5 times for everyone, including us, to hear, Jimmy Butler said, Rubio ain't coming in here. My locker room. He ain't coming in.
Didn't he go up to a security guard and told the security guard, don't let Rubio in?
He said, you know he ain't coming in here.
How awesome is that?
And Towns was sort of like...
Rubio's just sitting on the outside.
And Towns was sort of like... Towns was sort of like...
Change your face.
Towns was sort of like, wow... He said, he ain't coming in here. He's dead serious.
What, how did his teammates respond to that? Because I'm sure a lot of those guys still love Ricky Rubio.
They, like, listened. I mean, they didn't really... It wasn't a real response. But Butler kept saying, this is my room. This is my locker room. No one's coming in here.
This was Towns after the game last night.
I was pretty upset. I was upset more for one, you know, even, I think, defensively, I could have did some things to not even got the game to that point. I was late to the party. I was all the way at the ball. So by the time I got to Wiggs, it was like I got to the club with the lights on and everyone was leaving. So I was a little upset by that. But, hey, I got to celebrate with him a little bit. You know, Wiggs is amazing. He's been hitting that shot weirdly enough a lot the whole offseason and in practice. So, you know, the only thing that came through my mind if I didn't catch it was to set a screen for somebody, just try to get someone open. And I'm glad I was able to capitalize on it. You know, we were able to escape with a win, especially with me not playing as well as I would like to.
Yeah.
Through a top five block in football or basketball on Sunday.
Officials don't call that usually in the last 5 seconds. Let the guy decide the game with a 35-foot shot. Don't call an illegal screen.
Yeah, exactly.
So find all kinds of Viking stuff on 1500ESPN.com today in the Mackie and Judd show page. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or wherever you would generally find podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow.